that is plaguing our world and plaguing our times in which we're living in. Jesus addresses this topic in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And let me just start off by asking a question. How many of y'all have had what we call anxiety? Anxiety. A lot of us have that. The Bible describes that, and really the term is restlessness. Restlessness, where sometimes you can't even sleep at night because of things on your mind. It's not exactly worry, it's not exactly fear. It could be a combination of both. But what happens when that happens? And why is this so critical in the time in which we're living in, the age in which we're dealing with now? These are times where people are stressed. Everybody say stressed. We've got all of this stuff on our shoulders. All of these burdens that we're trying to deal with and carry and hopefully find some resolution. And in this verse is where Jesus invites us to do something. He's inviting you to do something, and I'm inviting you to do something today. If you are trying to deal with that on your own, listen to what the Lord says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. From that, we want to talk on the subject today, the need for rest. The need for rest. Shall we pray? Eternal God, our Father, we thank you again for bringing us into this place where we can celebrate your goodness, and Lord, also that we will be sharing communion today. That is our fellowship with you. I pray that you would help us to grasp it today, to let go of the burdens and the worries and the cares of this life, that we might embrace your truth. God, we pray you change us and change us for the good. We humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody, if you would, and tell them you need some rest. Look at somebody else and tell them you need some rest. Why y'all laughing? I mean, God instituted what we call the Sabbath law. Some people look at it as simply being a day of rest, but it's really a place that you arrive at in life where you have what we call complete peace with God. Complete peace with God. And when people get burdened, when they get all of these trials and these things that seem to accumulate on their shoulders, what they want to do is to find somewhere or someone that can help remove that burden. And so until they do so, they're constantly pacing the floor. They're constantly concerned about, is this going to happen or will this take place? This is especially important in these critical times in which we're living in, because more and more people are getting to the place where they have a lot of information at hand, but a lot of it is not useful. A lot of it doesn't ease their mind. As a matter of fact, it adds the burden to their mind. So you have people weighed down with the cares of life. But thank God we got a Savior. Amen. He came to this planet. He came to this place that we call Earth to say to us, I want to help you. I want to lift your burden. But you got to come to me. You got to respond. As we look at this Sabbath of God, the Sabbath of rest, the invitation was first given to Adam. God said to Adam and Eve, now, I rested on the seventh day. I rested from all of my labors. Now, was God tired? Of course not. But God established that as a place and as a principle for you and I so that you can step back from everything, spend some time with God, and get renewed. Is that all right? Why do we come to church on Sunday? Because we need that rest. We need a place where we can go to, and as the old folks would sing in that song, lay our burden down. That's what we're doing. When we sing songs, when we worship, and when we come together as saints of God, we're saying we're escaping the problems of this world, and for a moment of time, we are stopping everything and saying, God, have your way in my life. That's what it means to celebrate the Sabbath. The Lord gave this to Adam and Eve as a principle to help them with restlessness. But they chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, and as you know, a result of that is that they developed knowledge outside of God. Other answers, other solutions, other things that they can do. People today, they have other things that's on their mind. I don't want to go to church. I don't have time for God. I don't really need that in my life. You don't need him now, but you're going to need him soon. And so they go through this thing of restlessness. I'm so glad I got a Sunday because I know Monday's coming. How many of y'all still working? Now, wave your hand if you're still working. Okay, some of y'all still working. I'm semi-retired. But you come that you might be able to find ease, that you might be able to find refuge, and that you can find renewal in the presence of the Lord God. God gave that to Adam and Eve, but instead of them embracing it, instead of them honoring it, they got to the place where they said, you know what, we're going to do things our way. And so it was that they fell from grace, but they also lost their place of rest. Angels would guard, the angels would guard the place where they had once had refuge, and now they can no longer return there. That is until the Savior comes. And what I'm here to say to you today, and to give you the proclamation today, that gateway has now been opened. That path to comfort, that path to rest is now available and wide open. How? Because Jesus said, come to me. What man lost in the tree of knowledge, he regained when Jesus got up on that tree called Calvary. And he hung his head and died for you and I that we might have that rest of God. So we celebrate a Sabbath. Not what we're looking at one particular day, but we're looking to God Almighty who gives us rest. And as you know, when the law was given, God gave a command. On the seventh day, you shall rest. You shall rest from all your labor. Why? Because God rested. Now, the Lord gave them that command, but they didn't heed that command. They did what they wanted to on the Sabbath. Oh, they kept the formality of the law. They did things in a formal sense where we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, but there were things that they were doing that showed that they dishonored God and the Sabbath. They mistreated the poor. They dealt treacherously, as the Bible describes, with one another. They didn't honor God's law, and they didn't honor the Lord. They didn't enter into that time of rest. And why was that? Because they did not really have God on their mind. They had their own ideals and the things that they wanted to do, much like us today. How about that? Now you're saying to yourself, well, what does this have to do with the end times? As we described to you, during the end times, there's going to be deception, there's going to be fear, there's going to be hopelessness, but there's also going to be what? Restlessness. Daniel and the prophet describes it as men running here and there. Knowledge shall be increased. But how many problems are we really solving? Folks buy the best beds but they can't sleep. They'll get medication to try to help them sleep, and then they'll wake up to problems one more time. Am I preaching to somebody? Could it be that we've not allowed the Savior, the Lord of glory, to really come into our lives and transform us by his mighty power? If Jesus said, come to me, you better believe he's got something to offer. Amen. Look at somebody and say, he's got something to offer. I love to sing this song sometimes about the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. And that song goes on to describe how that when we embrace God's truth, when we come to the Lord, God gives us not just any kind of peace, but he gives us his peace, his joy, his comfort. You don't get secondhand stuff with God. Are y'all here? You get brand new stuff. Everybody love brand new stuff. Rushing on through this, as we know that there are other signs of the end times, but here's the whole point of the message. Without the Sabbath rest, without God's Sabbath of rest, the soul of man is restless and filled with trouble. That's the assessment. That's the reason why Jesus came. Never let anybody tell you that he only came to give us good teachings to live by. Even if you did have teaching, doesn't mean you're going to follow the lesson. There are a lot of people that have been taught, they know, but they don't do. There's a disconnect. And why is that? That is because they are leaning more to the world than they are to the living God. In the world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Let me tell you about what the Bible says will happen in the end times and why are we facing those things today. Jesus describes it in Luke 21. He said, these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Isn't that something? Days of vengeance. You get on the highway, you're just trying to get from point A to point B. All of a sudden, somebody drives up beside you. They almost stop and they stare at you. And you wonder, what in the world? Road rage. And you start asking yourself the rest of the trip, am I the only sane person on the highway today? Dealing with all of these things. What did Jesus say? There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Why? Because these are the beginnings where the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What do? You grab hold of something that is solid that cannot move. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. What rock are you standing on? What rock are you standing on? All other ground is sinking sand. So what does the Sabbath have to do with this? William Barclay, the noted New Testament scholar, said certain things about four principles of the Sabbath. Here's what he said. The Sabbath rest and what Jesus offers us is, first of all, warfare. He said, what is the warfare? The warfare is within. He says, come unto me who? All you that labor and are heavy laden. People need to admit that there's a struggle on the inside of you. Yes. You're heavy laden. You've got a burden. What is it? It comes from sin. It comes from the world around you. It comes from the environment. And ladies and gentlemen, as a fish in the water, you can't help but live in the things that are around you. Amen. As surely as that fish is in that water and the water is in it, you're living in a sinful world and sin is in you. And what does it cause? What are the repercussions? The repercussions are that now we are struggling. Yes. Have y'all ever seen times like this? If you don't believe it, go to the grocery store. Lord have mercy. Things I paid $2 for. Now it's more than ever. Why? Because we're in these stressful times, and the whole idea is to stress you out. So what Barclay is really telling us is that it is a warfare, and the war cannot be ended until we confess Christ. Amen. Jesus said, come to me. If that's your condition, first the warfare. Then the second principle that Barclay deals with is the principle of choice. God's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to make you. He simply says, come. This is my invitation. I'm giving you the invitation. If you want to come, you can come. If you don't want to come, keep your burden. Amen. Keep your storms. Keep your trials. Yes. And here's the interesting thing. People try everything else. You know, if you weren't, if you were to the point where you recognize there's a need, why are you trying all of this other stuff and you know there's only one that can really solve it? Amen. Jesus said, come to me. Amen. The point that Barclay makes in this is that Christ, who was God, who is God, condescended. That meant he came down into this world, stepped down, as one preacher said, he came down through 42 generations. To do what? To show us, here's God. But not only here's God, here's the peace of God. And you need it. You need it in your life. So what do? We make the choice. We make the choice. God put the tree in the Garden of Eden and said to Adam and Eve, now you got a choice. You got a choice. You can obey my command, don't eat of the tree, or you can exercise your right to choose and say, you know what? I'm going to eat anyway. And look at what we've digested. You know, I have a special diet that I have to stay on. If I don't stay on it, guess what? 2 o'clock in the morning, I know something didn't go down right. And people are trying to digest. Hey, this won't hurt me. I'll just do a little bit of this. That won't bother me. Hey, I'll just go ahead and mistreat this person, and that's all right. It's going to come back on you. Amen. It's going to start eating at you. And the next thing you know, you get to the place where I got to go and I got to find out what's wrong with me. You know, what's wrong with you is that you need Christ. Amen. Barclay goes on to say that not only should we come to him, but then it's also involving a cross. So you've got warfare. You've got now what we call a choice, but you also have a cross. What does Jesus want us to do? Take my yoke upon you. In those days, they would have animals, and one animal would be on one side of the yoke, and the other would be on the other side of the yoke. He said, now come and yoke up with me. Yeah. Which means this is not a Sunday religion. Amen. This is the everyday life. You don't get yoked on Sunday and then, okay, Jesus, I can get out of this thing now. I'm on my own. Every day that you live, you got to stay with him. Amen. Do I have any saints in here that have been walking with him? Do I have any two or three people that know that he never lets you down? That he's always walking by your side? As a matter of fact, when you can't carry your load, the Lord is able to carry you. He's a way maker. And so we have that cross. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn my ways. Then the last thing, the adventure. The adventure. Barclay says it is an adventure when we learn of Christ, because we're not learning the earthly ways. We're now setting our mind on heavenly things. We're now looking upward. And we are actually walking with the living God, living the life that God would have us to live in this world. Can you imagine that? The Greeks decided, they called it Zoe, Z-O-E. Some people are named that, but did you know that that name meant that you are of the gods? You have the life of the gods in you. That's what the Greek says. So you got this person called Hercules, right? Hercules is supposed to be having all this grace. Where did he get it? Because of the Greek gods. But now, Hercules is a myth. But Jesus is real. When you get Jesus in your heart, when you get Jesus in your life, or you may not be able to lift the heavy weights physically, but you can sure enough lift the burdens of this world. Amen. You may not be able to jump high and do all of those things, but one thing you can do, you can walk with confidence because you know that God walks with you. Yeah. My grandma said he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. When you really embrace that life, ladies and gentlemen, it is an adventure. Nobody should look at you as a Christian. How you doing? I'm hanging in there. You ain't Tarzan. You're supposed to have the joy of the Lord in your life. You're supposed to have something on the inside that shows you're a child of the King. Don't just wear the jewelry with the cross on it. Wear it in your heart and know that Jesus is real. Let me go on and preach. I couldn't keep up with Barclay, so I had to come up with my own stuff. Amen. He inspired me to come up with a couple of things. First of all, the Sabbath in your life. What does the Sabbath in your life? What does it mean? It means, first of all, fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. We sing the hymn a lot of times. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. What? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Jesus is inviting you to a fellowship. Not a life separate from him, but a life joined to him. Come unto me. All that labor. That's the word I like about it. And Reverend Gibbons gave us a definition. What does all mean? It means all. And guess what? That's all that all means. It means you. It means me. It means the people who've never heard of it. It means everybody, Lottie and Dottie. All. Some of you know what it was like pre-Sabbath. Some of you know what it was like trying to pretend that everything's all right. How you doing? I'm doing all right. When really you were being torn apart on the inside. But then somebody called Jesus of Nazareth stepped down into your life and told you everything's going to be all right. He didn't have to change the exterior. What he did was work on the inside. What he did is came in and removed the burden. He cast all of those things out of the way, and then he filled the void of what was empty. I like that. He filled the void so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. No, you're not Hercules. You're not anybody else. You're the same person, but I tell you what, you're new on the inside. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The folks over at the Shule Furniture Company, maybe I shouldn't mention it on the air, but I'll go ahead and mention Grand Piano, and remember, what's another one? Home Goods or whoever else. All right, Ashley Home Furniture. So that's a couple of them. Nobody can say I'm trying to pick ones. They can sell you a bed, but they can't give you sleep. Amen. Some people like to take their afternoon naps, so they get what they call a lounge chair. My wife got a fancy name for it. I don't know what it is yet. Chase Lounge. They can sell you a Chase Lounge. But you can lay down on that lounge and say, I'm going to take me a quick nap, only to find yourself being awakened by your problem, and your problem tells you, I ain't left you yet. Jesus said, I give you rest, complete rest. I give you rest from the burdens of life. That Sabbath means fellowship with God. But not only fellowship, it also means ownership. Everybody say ownership. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking at this point. You're probably saying, I don't want anybody owning me. Well, let me ask another question. Any of y'all in debt in here? I know you're probably saying, everything I got paid for, why are you still paying taxes on it? Somebody else got an interest in it other than you. And December the 5th is coming. People talking about November the 5th coming. December the 5th coming. That's when you got to pay your taxes. Help me out in here. It's gotten to the place where we realize we don't really own things. But Reverend Gibbons read a passage today that said the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So when you get yoked up with Jesus, can I preach on it? Miss Gibbons, can I preach? When you get yoked up with Jesus, that means to come under the ownership of him. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah told the people of Israel to get yoked up with the Babylonians. Why? Because God was saying to them, if you come under their yoke, I am going to bless you. I'm going to make you pay for your sin, but then I'm going to bless you. I'll turn it around. Yoke means ownership. It means that when you're on the other side, now you're dependent on him. Everything in your life, you've got to really look to him as your source. You got to make sure that you are following him and that you are, watch this word, faithful. Faithful means that if he gives me instructions, I'm not going to go to this way and that way. I'm going to go in the direction that God wants me to go. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Now, here's why I'm glad I'm owned by God. For some of you old anti-ownership folk, here's why I'm glad God owns me. When I got a problem, guess what I tell God? Lord, we got a problem. When I have a need, I get to go to God and say, Lord, we've got a need here. And when you do that, you know that God will always take care of you. Deacon Ed McDaniel served for 99 years in his life, almost 100. But he had something that he lived by. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. And I'm just 71, but I found out that he's a waymaker. I found out that he's a burden bearer. Guess what else I found out? I found out that once you yoke up with him, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. People will put you down in this life. But because you're owned by God, he can never disown you. I like that word. Thank God for grace. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. So God has established his ownership. When Jesus comes into your life and says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. He says, now you belong to me now, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Well, my wife and I got married, 51? I forget, I can't count. Long time ago. Jane, I made the mistake of telling her I'm going to take care of her. Yeah, she backed that one way better. Don't you know that woman take me up on my word? I said, Lord, have mercy. What God is inviting you and me to do is to take him up on his word. Amen. Believe what his word, if he says I'm going to take it, believe what his word says. Don't doubt him. Don't go back and say, well, I don't know whether the Lord's going to do this or not. If it's good and you got a good God, you better believe he's going to do it. What did Laura just say? He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Amen, somebody. So the Sabbath means ownership. It also means that we now share in fellowship. But one other thing, it also means workmanship. I know some of you all are saying to yourself, wait a minute, hold up, preacher. I thought the Sabbath meant no work. I don't know where you got that from. Jesus said himself, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath and not evil. You see, what God wanted to do, what his intent was, knowing the hearts of men, he wanted us to put on the brakes, stop doing your stuff, get on the Lord's side, and do his. Doing good, you don't get tired. I said, doing good, you don't get tired. It doesn't weigh you, because what's happening is that God is now working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not your work, it's the Holy Spirit that's working through you. Some of you that know the power of the Holy Spirit, you know that there were times when you thought it was just impossible. But then all of a sudden God came and made a way out of no way. Now the impossible became something that you could do and something that you look forward to doing. When folks come to church now, I want to ask you a question. Are you coming because, well, this is what I got to do? Or are you coming because I get to meet with God? I get to talk with God. I get to experience other saints that are trusting in God. We get to pray. We get to sing. You know what? The psalmist was like a little kid. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That truly is a demonstration that you know him for yourself. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What is Jesus like? I'm meek. Doesn't mean weak. It doesn't say W-E-A-K. It says M-E-E-K. Meek means controlled. When you got God controlling your life, it's going to show in your character. You're not going to be flying off the handle in situations. You're going to be calm because he's working on the inside of you. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. I'm going to give you one example before I go to my seat that really embraces this. How do we know that the Sabbath of rest is for everybody? How do we know that we can apply it to our lives? The book of Acts records this Ethiopian eunuch, the treasurer for Candace, the queen of Egypt. He had just come from Jerusalem, celebrating, no doubt, the Jewish holidays because he's a proselyte. He has come to seek something, but he goes back to his station in Ethiopia having burdens. He goes back asking questions. He's reading the Bible, but really not getting anything out of it because he doesn't know how or what he's reading about. By the way, God had spoken to this young man by the name of Philip. And so he says to him, I want you to go down to Gaza. And I want you to meet up with this man. Tell him all about me. So he goes down there and he asks the guy, he comes across the gentleman, do you know what you're reading? I don't have a clue. That's Coleman's paraphrase. I don't know what I'm reading except someone should teach me. Notice Jesus said, learn. You never learn if you know everything. You never learn until you start asking some questions. You never learn until you really get to the place where you admit to yourself, I need some answers for my life. Am I talking to anybody? Yes. So the man says to him, come up, read, and help me understand what I'm reading. And beginning at the question that the man had, he said, now, it says that he was led as a lamb unto the slaughter. And as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Now, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? And the scripture says, I said, the scripture says, he began at that verse. He didn't preach about the bees and the birds. He didn't preach about the earth and the sky. He said, at that scripture, he began to preach to him Jesus. And as he preached Jesus, that man began to embrace something called the Sabbath. He found out that something on the inside was working that had never worked before. He felt the assurance that, you know what? I can trust him because he's real. Amen. Little ways they traveled together, and then the man asked the question, what does hinder me from being baptized? Yeah. So said these words, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And the man said, I believe. I wish there was somebody in here that would simply say, Lord, I believe you. Rather than listening to Facebook, rather than listening to X, and rather than listening to this one and that one, would you listen to Jesus? Would you give heed to his voice? When he tells you, whosoever will, let him come. And I'm here as a witness to let you know that if you come to him, he's able to turn your life around. Nobody can give you that kind of rest but Jesus. And that man, he, even though he only had a short lesson and a short trip, but he went back to Ethiopia with the Lord working on the inside. And I don't know what your station is in life. I don't know the things that are going on. But I'm here to tell you that that same Sabbath, yes, it can come into your life today. Yes. It can come in and he'll bless you beyond measure. Yes. Many of you can testify, yes, to that goodness. Yes. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. The old thing going back in the 60s, late 60s, they say, you got soul? People answer back, yeah, I got soul. They thought it was a way you dance or the music you listen to. But long before that, Jesus said, if you want your soul, you got to come to me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us this Sabbath of rest. The world is in unrest. The world is in a state of confusion. But I thank you for peace of mind. I thank you for the joy of knowing that you're real. And I know some that came to church today, they put on their church clothes and they tried to put on a church face, but something on the inside of their heart is telling them there's something that's still not right. Is your soul resting in the Savior? And if it's not, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, I'm just trying to put you in a better place. If you simply confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he will give your soul that rest, God can turn your life around. Father, bless them as only you can. I humbly pray in the name of your son, Jesus, and for his sake. Amen and amen. Here's a little prayer I want us to all pray together. Can we pray this? Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for the Sabbath of rest.
For the Sabbath of rest.
That takes us from the world of care.
That takes us from the world of care.
Into your presence.
Into your presence.
Our souls. Are no longer restless.
Are no longer restless.
We have found peace in God.
We have found peace in God.
Now we have the peace of God.
Now we have the peace of God.
To share with the world.
To share with the world.
We praise you.
We praise you.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If there be one today, The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. There be one without Christ, without hope, and maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. If you're online, I know you cannot come in here, but you can correspond with us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and send us a note. Let us know that you prayed to receive Christ in your heart. There be one. The altar's open.
Amen, church. Of the same body that was betrayed, the Bible says that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He said, this bread is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise with the cup. He said, this cup is my blood. Do this as often as you drink this. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us take and drink, eat the bread. Your palm communion. The palm will you sacrifice your life, gave of your life, your sweat wife on Calvary's cross, died for our friends. Lord God, bless us now, and we partake of this and remember of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Thank you. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the message, O God, that you have given to us. Thank you for using your manservant, O God, to present to us. Thus saith the Lord. We do pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue to motivate us to share this message with someone who apparently is living without hope. And Lord, as we about to leave this place, we thank you, O God, for the offering. We thank you for the privilege of giving, allowing us, O God, to participate in such a wonderful, marvelous gift of giving, realizing, O God, that it all belongs to you. So we ask your blessings upon it so that men and women, boys and girls, may hear the word of God proclaimed no matter where they are. Thank you for this privilege. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.